borrowed dreams, all life's joys you've given me. When troubles come, you're always there to make me smile. Let come what may, I will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's precious Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life and make it what you'd have me be. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Amen. The Lord has pressed some verses heavily on my heart about tonight, and it's found in 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20. And we want to look at these first 11 verses in this chapter, and we'll try to be just as brief as the Lord will allow us this evening. We appreciate each of you being here tonight. Thank God for your presence. Most of all, we're very thankful for the presence of the Lord. I want to preach from this text. There is a phrase in verse number 1, and it is, "Set thine house in order." And I believe from the Lord that tonight God wants us to think on this thought and consider it greatly. The Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, I know that your spirit has pressed firmly these verses upon my heart in these days. And Lord, I ask now that you would help us to preach this evening, Lord, as you would have us to. And I pray, God, you would lead us and guide us and help us this evening. And for this I pray and ask your blessing upon, in Jesus' name, amen. Israel, at this point in time in history, is a divided nation. If you study Israel, the northern kingdoms, which comprise 10 of the tribes of Israel, every king was wicked, evil, bad kings. In the southern kingdom, made up of two tribes, was considered to be Judah. There were very few of those kings that were good, Hezekiah being one of them. His daddy was named Ahaz. The Bible said he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He reigned 16 years, and Ahaz died at the ripe old age of 42. His son Hezekiah was made king, and he led a revival to the southern tribes, the southern kingdom of Israel. He led the people to return to the Lord God Almighty. He repaired the temple, opened back up the house of God, brought the people back, get them firmly acquainted with the altar, with the word of God. They began to worship God and do right. He removed the idols out of the land and caused the people to again trust in the Lord God Almighty. He determined in his life that he would serve God and do right. And that's when it happened. We see, number one, a startling revelation. The man of God comes to see Hezekiah. What happened to Hezekiah? He was sick. The Bible says he's sick unto death. Though he's doing right, he still has problems. Though he's doing right, he still has trials. Though he's doing right, he still has troubles. Just because you serve God does not mean you will not have troubles, trials, or problems in your life. Amen. Hezekiah has gotten sick. He's lived a good life. He is now at the ripe old age of 39. And his life is about to be cut short. In fact, he has no children. He has no heirs whatsoever. The man of God says, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." What kind of death is he going to die? The kind where you don't live. This is not a figure of speech where you go around and says, "Well, I just feel like I could die," or "unto," you know. It's not a figure of speech. He's going to die and he's not going to live. Death can come to any one of us suddenly, quickly. King Hezekiah has just received a death sentence. Did you know that tonight that in the hand of my God is my blessing, my bread, and my breath? He can cut any one of them out of my life at any point in time that he wants to. If you knew that tonight you were going to be killed in an accident in a car, you would stay home. You wouldn't get in that car. You would do all you can to avoid that situation. If you knew that you would die tonight, would there be any changes you would make? Is there anybody you would call? Is there anybody you'd like to talk to? Honey, I'm telling you, you ought to be talking to them now. Preacher Darren, what are you saying? Preacher Darren, this is Wednesday night. I come in for encouragement, and you're telling me to set my house in order. Honey, as God the Holy Ghost told me to tell you, you even heard the man of God say, "It is finished." So whatever it is that's going on tonight, I am not to take it lightly, and you, honey, are not to take it lightly. It is a startling revelation. Hezekiah was not looking for that word when it came. Number two, he came to a solemn realization. Verse 2, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord. Now it seems to me that things in Hezekiah's life are headed in what seems like the wrong direction. He's just got word that he's going to die and not live. That doesn't seem to be something that's going to cause us to rejoice or to make us happy. But if you knew you're going to die today and you're told to set your house in order, what would you do? Well, King Hezekiah didn't call a lawyer. He didn't say, "Prepare the papers, I'm ready to sign the will." Amen.
My Bible says that he turned his face to the wall. If you turn right now, if you turn your face to the wall, you're turning your face away from everything else. I'm telling you tonight, you need to turn from everything else. And Hezekiah is saying, when I turn from everything else, I'm just wanting to get alone with God. It is a solemn realization. I promise you tonight, for whatever trouble it is, it may be a death sentence to you. It may be a problem to you. Honey, I'm telling you, you better turn away from this thing. You better get your eyes off of it. You better get your mind off of it. You better get your ears off of it. You better get your thinking off of it. You better turn to the wall, and you better get your thinking on the Lord. You better get your eyes on the Lord. You better look to Him. Amen. King Hezekiah did not call for a lawyer. Look who else he did not call for. He did not call for a doctor. He did not say, let's go get the king's physicians. Oh no, he's going to look to the great physician. He's turned himself to the wall, and he begins, as he turns himself to the wall, the Bible says that he prayed unto the Lord. He turned away from the problem, and he turned to the Lord. I'm telling you, there's somebody here. You need God to turn this thing for you. You've got a bad word. You've got a bad vibe. Something's going on. There's a problem, man. You just can't handle it. You're about to freak out. I'm telling you, you better turn to the Lord. If you want it to turn, you better turn to Him. Now, the Bible tells us that King Hezekiah, in this dismal situation that's beyond his control, evidently, King Hezekiah, he knows that the lawyers and the doctors cannot help him. So he turns to the Lord. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. As Hezekiah is praying, verse 3, I beseech thee, O Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The God that demands righteousness. I'm turning my petition unto Him. The end of the verse says that he wept sore. He's displaying his desperation. He is letting his emotions come out. He's letting whatever is inside of him come out, and he's bringing everything to God. He's turned away from everything else, and he's turned to the Lord. This is one thing Hezekiah knows. He knows that God takes bad news and he turns it into good news. And he does it all the time. So we see a solemn realization. What is it? I can't handle this. It's beyond me. It's too big for me. I can't wrap my mind around it. I can't adjust it like I adjust the thermostat and make myself comfortable again. Every time I try, I make it worse. This is the Lord's doing. And I'm going to look to Him. Thirdly, this is critical. There, I see, thirdly, a self-reexamination. Now, what's this? As he calls on the Lord, this is amazing. As he calls on the Lord, he did not say, O Lord God of grace, O Lord God of salvation, O Lord God of mercy. Look what he says. Remember now how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. He is not citing, God, what you have done. He says, Lord, remember how I've served you in the past. Now, that you want God to turn this thing? My. It made me question. God, is there anything in my life up to now that I have worth mentioning to you? To say, Lord, look at these deeds. Look at these activities. Look what I've been involved with. Look how I'm walking and trying to, I've been determined to do right by you. God, That's what he cited. He cited, Lord, look how I'm trying to serve you. He has an entire portfolio filled with his commitment to God. Hezekiah has tried to live for God. And now as he prays, he said, God, will you remember how I walked before you? Will you remember how I've served you and trusted you? Amen. Now, there is a storm came to Arkansas. And one of them tornado type deals. And there was people killed and it was terrible. And one fellow said to another when the storm was over, he says, where was you at when the storm passed through? He said, I was at home. He said, well, what was you doing at home? He said, I was down on my knees praying. He said, I guarantee you the Lord heard a lot of strange voices in that storm. Can I ask you a question? Set thine house in order. This problem that's caught you kind of off glance at the moment and the time, as you begin to pray about it, will it be a strange voice to God to hear you speaking to him about it? Because you've not been speaking about it for some time. He rarely hears from you. Look what he says. I am walking before thee in truth. Can you say that tonight? Can you honestly say, I am walking before the Lord in truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look with me again. Hezekiah said, not only am I walking before you in truth, I have a perfect heart. Now, he's not declaring himself sinless. What he's saying, the word perfect there means mature. It means that when I do sin, I'm quick to get right with it, right about it. I'm quick to confess it. I'm quick to forsake it. I can't stand it. The conviction, I can't stand it. I want to be right with God. That's what he's saying. Can you honestly say in the presence of God, knowing that you're going to die today, that your heart is perfect before God? And that you're walking before God in truth? Hezekiah said, I have done that which is good in thy sight. Wow. Fourthly, and I'm done, I see a sovereign ratification. The man of God in verse 4 has just delivered God's message to the king. Set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. And the king turns and he's walking out of the palace, and before he can even get to the middle court, God spoke to him and said, Isaiah, you're going to have to, look what he says, you're going to have to turn again. You ought to underline that in verse number 5. He said, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. You want to talk about a fast answer? Thank God for it. But in my life, it seems like when I pray, sometimes it takes years. Sometimes it takes months. Thank God for a fast answer. You're going to die. He needed a fast answer. He's going to die. Set your house in order. Maybe not today. Oh, God. You talk about a desperate plea. You talk about serving God. Listen, God says, go back, tell him, I've heard his prayer. And listen, I believe, don't you believe, that when Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, don't you think Hezekiah prayed, Lord, will you heal me? Lord, don't you think he did? What do you think he prayed? Lord, would you grant me another day? Lord, would you grant me a little more time? Don't you know he's praying about it? God is going to do more than Hezekiah prayed for. Hezekiah prayed for a day. Hezekiah prayed for a week. Hezekiah prayed for a month. And God said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. My God, does exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Isn't that wonderful? Look how you have the Father's attention. You have His listening ear. I have heard thy prayer. Somebody will say amen right there. If you've been praying about a certain something, I feel like I'm supposed to tell you, God has heard your cry. God has heard your prayer. Yeah, preacher, that's good. But then you've come in here and said, set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. Honey, if God wants me to die, that's the best thing that can happen to me. And if God wants me to live, that's good too. Amen. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. You have His listening ear. You have His looking eyes. I have seen thy tears. In fact, I believe He puts them in a bottle. Amen. He knows what's going on. He's going to release your sickness. He says, behold, I will heal thee. Now I feel that arcing in my soul. He's trying to tell somebody now, you're about ready to give up. You think it's over. You're going to die and not live. And God said, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I'm going to heal you. Well, hallelujah. That excites me. I'll heal thee. And look what He says. I'm going to return you to service. He said, look, verse 5. On the third day, thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. In 3 days, you're going to go right back to the house of God. You're going to go back up there and you're going to testify. You're going to go back up there and praise me. You're going to go back up there and give me glory. Hey, hallelujah, for another trip to the house of God to offer Him glory, to offer Him honor, and to praise Him with. I don't know why y'all are so quiet, amen. I'm telling you, God has given us another day right now to come in here and bless His holy name. Man, if you could just stand right now with me, you'd be jumping things, I'm telling you. Unbelievable. Verse 6, I will add unto thy days 15 years. That's great, divine protection. I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for David's sake. Hallelujah. He says in verse 7, take a lump of figs. They took and laid it on the bull, and he recovered. He's got a distinct purpose. He says, Isaiah, man of God, how am I going to know? He says, I tell you what, ask what you will. Let the shadow go forward 10 degrees. Let it go backward 10 degrees. You tell me what you want. God's going to show you He's done this thing for you. And Hezekiah said, well, the way I'm seeing it, it's a light thing for it to keep going forward 10 degrees. Stop it and let it go backwards 10 degrees over the sundial over there that my dad at my daddy's place. And I want you to know, honey, oh, amen, God stopped everything and moved her backwards and did her. Well, hallelujah, He'll stop heaven and earth just for you if He needs to. And He let her go backwards. Hey, thank God. Thank God tonight. He said, I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to cause it to return again. I say hallelujah to God. Amen. So He gave him that precious shadow, that precious sign. Now in these added years, here's where it's dangerous. Hezekiah did a foolish thing. He's got 15 extra years to live. He does a foolish thing. He brings the Babylonians, his arch enemies, into the city. He opens before them the treasuries of the palace. They see the gold and the silver, the ivory and the trinkets. And he says, look at all this, boys. Look at how much God's blessed us with. Go over here to the house of God. Showed him up everything at the house of God. Took him all over the city. Gave him the bank combinations. Just bragging, bragging, bragging. The king of Babylon left there. And he said, you know what? I'm going back. And I'm going to rob and pillage and take every single thing they got. The enemy tonight don't like your shouting. He don't like your praising. He don't like your rejoicing. He don't like your good news. He don't like you believing and trusting God. He don't like it when you hear God say, I'll heal you, and you say, hallelujah, God's heard my prayer, and God's wipe my tears. And the enemy comes in and says, I'm going to take all that up. I'm going to take all that joy. I'm going to collect it all. Listen, King Hezekiah, 3 years after this, had a baby boy. His name is Manasseh. When Hezekiah died, Manasseh was 12 years old. He undid every good thing his daddy did. He had a bad cabinet. He had some bad people telling him what to do. And he listened to them. 12 years old, he didn't know everything about being the king. And he restored those idols back. He closed the house of God back down. And my Bible says that he shed blood all over the kingdom all the years. He did evil in the sight of God. He undid every good thing that his daddy did. You look back over Hezekiah's life, you scratch your head and you say, might have been better for him to have died when God said than to add them 15 years and Hezekiah used those days foolishly. Don't you agree? Will you turn to a parallel passage and I'm done. It's in Isaiah. Isaiah's account of this. Remember, Isaiah was the man of God that came to preach to the king. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. And I'm done right here. I'll just look at the first verse. Just so you'll know it's the parallel passage. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, thou shalt die and not live. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. He began to call on God. The whole story, it's all there in Isaiah chapter 38. Now I want you to notice something that is said in verse number 17. This is critical tonight. Verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. For thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Will you look at me for a second? You have had a death sentence hang over your head. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. I was going to die and go to hell. And on July 13th, 1978, God, in mercy and in love for my soul, delivered me from the pit of corruption, and he's added to my days. He saved me. Now I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm going to live eternally there. But on earth, he's added to my days. Preacher, I'm living on borrowed time right now. And what am I doing with the added days God gave me? For Hezekiah, he did foolish things. Foolish things. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, church, don't get involved in foolish things, foolish talk, and foolish activities. Don't be a fool. God has given you an extended days. He's added to you this day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We'll be rejoiced, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Back there in 1970, whatever, my grandmother, I was just a little boy, my grandmother came home with solemn news. She had cancer of the stomach. It was stage 4 or whatever. And they was going to take her stomach and cut it in half, throw part of it out, turn it inside out, give her all these cobalt treatments, may extend her life up to 6 months they gave her to live. Maybe a year if she was, their word, lucky. And Grandma, she never complained. She lived out in Madison County, and I remember she come and stayed with us because we was closer to the cobalt treatments than where she lived was. She stayed with us. And I remember every night she was praying and serving God. She wasn't even really asking for healing. She was just praying, asking God to save my soul and to work in her family and that she might glorify God, though she went through sickness. And 6 months came and went, and a year came and went, and 2 years came and went, and 10 years came and went, and she just kept serving God. 40 some years she served God with a 6 month sentence. You see, God, my God, added to my grandma's days and how she honored him. And what do I do with the added days God has given me, delivering me from the pit of corruption? What do I do with it? I want to say this tonight and I'm done. All I have is the Lord's. And the Lord could come this day. He may come through the undertaker, and he may come through the upper taker. But he is coming. And God could cut me off today. But I want my house to be set in order. And I want my heart to be set in order. Man, I'm telling you, you hear me tonight. If I've done anything to you individually that you got the pooch lip or the hurt feelings about, I love you. You forgive me. Would you be so kind and so gracious? I'm just a wicked old heinous sinner, is all I am. I don't want nothing between me and my fellow man. I'll apologize and apologize. I want to be right with God. I don't want anything to, I will set my house. Preacher Darren, you getting ready to die? Maybe. Maybe you are. And I need to get it right with you. Before God moves you out of here. Boy, it'd be hard for me to have to preach your funeral and knowing you was mad at me. Amen. You hear me tonight, youngins? I don't want anything to bring a reproach upon the name of my Savior. Oh, preacher, you need to come to me individually. I ought not to have to do that to you. But if I have to, I will. I'll get down on my knees. I beg you, look you in the eyes, you forgive me. I love you. I love your family. I want to see them saved. I want to see them go to heaven. I want to see every single one of you again when we get to glory. I want us all to go together. Hear me. I don't want anything to bring reproach on my Savior. I don't want to bring a shame on this church. I don't want to bring a shame on my family. I don't want to be a shame on my friends. I want to honor God with my life. So when I set things in order, I ask you this question. Is there anything out of order in your life? Who is it you need to get up in front of everybody and say, oh God, will you forgive me misjudging you? Will you forgive me of the backbiting and the things I said behind you, around your back? Will you forgive me? You smile on my face and talk about me like a dog behind my back? God knows what you said. God knows what you're doing. And you're on dangerous ground. You hear me right now. I don't know who you are at home. Right now, God's wanting you to set your house in order. And the best thing you can do, you can laugh at me. You can mock and make fun all you want to. I was up last night till 3 o'clock in the morning. I had to get up this morning at 5:30. I got 2.5 hours of sleep this morning. And the dogs got me up for part of that. Honey, I'm telling you, God's not fooling around with this outfit. Is there anything you need to do to set your house in order? Maybe what you need to do is you need to take an old-fashioned trip to the altar and say, God, would you help me to set things in order in my house? I'm telling you, you hear me. You young people, look at me in the eye. You young people especially. What if God said, I'm taking your mama and I'm taking your daddy. It's been so splendidly good to you. They, man, how they've fed you, how they've loved you, and how they've prayed over you. You treat them like a yard dog. Run them down behind their back. And God says, set your house in order. I'm taking your mama tonight. You'll wake up a boy in the morning without clean clothes. you'll wake up in the morning without any food on your table. Yeah, I'm telling you, you'll be so miserable and your heart broke for the way you treated your blessed mother and your blessed daddy. Honey, you need to get right with your sister. You need to get right with your brother. You need to get right with your family. You need to get right with each other in the church. I'm telling you, God's not playing tiddlyweeks. You think I want to get up here and preach this right before Easter? I want to tell you about Jesus and his love. How he died for us, gave his life, and for a ransom for our sins. How he's buried and raised again. And God said, you tell them, set their house in order. Okay. Okay. But at the same time as you do, you know you're already living on borrowed time. And as you do, right now you say, God, I'm living on borrowed time. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, I'm going to get this right. I'm going to get this straightened up. I'm going to get my mind off of it, get my ears off of it, get my hands off of it, get my mouth off of it. God, I'm going to give it to you. I'm just going to trust you. Do what you can, and God, would you help me to praise you? You stand on your feet. I'm done. Brother Seth, I want you to play, son. You've been warned. The man of God came by tonight to read this scripture to you to warn you. Well, preacher Darren, I doubt you're a man of God. Go ahead and doubt all you want. I believe God will prove it different. You better mind the Lord right now. What is it you need to do? Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. Oh, help us, Jesus. Oh, God. Lord, I thank you for the word, but it scares me. I thank you for the word, but it brings fear to my heart. God, not that I'm not ready. God, I know, Father, you've saved me. I thank you for it, Lord. I met the Master. He's made the difference in my life. God, I want to be right with my fellow man. I do want to serve you in the beauty of holiness. Lord, I do want to have a heart that comes clean with you. I don't want to hide things from you and have some secret, a hidden agenda, God, behind my wife's back, or behind my children's back, behind my church's back. Lord, I want to live before you. I fear you, God, and I want to be right with my fellow man. And Lord, I pray, God, Lord, if there's folks here tonight, God, if there's things to be set in order, that God didn't do it. Lord, I love my wife. I love my children. I love my church. God, I thank you for it. But most of all, I love my sweet Savior. One of these days, God, we're going to gather complete in heaven. And I look forward to that event. But God, while we're on earth, this is not a game. This is real. This is not a power struggle. God, this is real. Lord, we'll never worship you. We'll never have the proper witness nor the testimony until we learn to get right with God and with one another. Help us, God, I pray, that we wouldn't have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Help